Hey, mate, the world-famous Phil Henry Show for the El Pacifico in Southern California. This then is Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Leonard.
I'm General Kevin Shaw.
And I'm Margaret Gray, and welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show for today. Here, then, is Phil Henry.
Thank you, guys. And, Margaret, I know you and Frank were shopping at the Chow Chow Mall. I don't know where that is.
You don't know where what is?
Where's the Chow Chow Mall?
Oh, the Chow Chow Mall, that's in Beverly Hills. It's a new mall that they've opened up over there. But what happened was, Frank got into it. I was in the store, and we were Christmas shopping for Dave, for Buster Waleef, and for the rest of the guys over at Frank's office. And then I had some Christmas shopping to do for the twins.
Who?
It doesn't matter, General.
All right, so you guys were Christmas shopping.
Well, Frank is...
Yeah, Mr. Gray, do you want to come on now? He's having a popsicle.
He's doing what?
He says he's having a popsicle. I don't know.
Get his tired ass. Frank, what are you doing?
I told it I was having a popsicle. What's the problem? I'm having a popsicle. I'm waiting to get on the line with the Henry Show.
You're talking to your wife right now.
Oh. All right, well, I stopped over here. They had one of those... You remember when we were coming out of the store tonight? They had the vendor there.
A popsicle vendor on the 20th, whatever this is, the 20th of December, Frank.
This is California in the name of everything holy. There's not...
All right, so tell everyone what happened.
Well, there's nothing to tell. I'm sitting in my car, and a man came over, and she says to me, "You're in my car." At which point, you know, I got out of the car. I said, "Well, go talk to my wife. He's in the store. He has the car keys."
That's not what happened, Frank. We're talking about the man that approached you while you were in the parking lot, right?
I was in what I thought was my car. Let me start from the beginning here. Hold on for a minute. I got to get out of this. There looks like they're having a parade here or something, or they're moving equipment. I don't know what. What happened, Phil? Are you there?
I'm right here. Yeah.
Okay. What happened is this. I came out to the car with some Christmas packages that he'd given me because we went Christmas shopping. And I opened up the rear hatch on a Range Rover, which I was sure was my Range Rover. It was black. I have the black with the sleek lines and the linear detail. Okay?
We don't know what that means, Frank, the sleek lines, the linear detail.
I've got a beautiful Range Rover. It's got the blackout wheels and the Chow Chow grill.
What do you mean the Chow Chow grill? That's the mall we were in.
No, but it's named after the same guy. He doesn't understand, Phil, so... I got into the car.
The Chow Chow Grill means what?
It's a specialty grill that Range Rover does strictly for members of the entertainment. If you happen to know, do you know Pootie Johnson or any of the guys over there, Beverly Hill Chow Chow? Not Beverly Hill Chip, Beverly Hill Land Rover?
No, I do not.
If you're laughing at me, so help me God.
Not laughing at you, sir, but we don't know what you mean.
I'm telling you, I'm trying to explain the story.
What we heard, hold on, Frank.
Frank,
wait, Margaret, what we heard was that you got into the wrong car tonight.
I got into the wrong car, but I tell you, hold on for a minute. Mental illness is afoot, Phil. Mental illness is on the move. It's everywhere in America, and it is secreting itself and informing the body politic. I come out of the Beverly, I came out of Woofie's, okay? That's where Margaret and I were there.
I don't know these stores.
It's a store. It's over there at the center at the mall we were at. Frank is talking about the Chow Chow Mall, right?
The Chow Chow Mall.
All right, that's where we were.
What is the what's the Chow Chow Grill?
I had the Chow Chow Grill. It's designed after the Chow Chow. It's a grill, a specific grill you put on a Land Rover. Do I have to explain this, Phil?
Go ahead.
So, I come out. I've got Christmas packages. I get into my car, I load the packages in, I get into my car, and I light a cigar, and I hear a knocking, and there's a guy standing there with a inflamed red eyes and a like a beaver skin cap, or I don't know what he had on, but he had on a blouse, a pair of women's slacks, you know.
Frank, this is all stuff that you're adding on.
All right, okay, but anyway, and she says to me, "What are you doing in my car?" And I said, "Your car?" I said, "You got it. I have the sleek grill. I look, there's the Chow Chow design." And she says to me, she says, "My wife's in the store, and when he comes out, there's going to be hell to pay if you're..." Now, this is my car. I said, "You watch your tongue with me. My name is Frank Gray. I'm an entertainment attorney, and my wife's in the store. If you don't think it's my car, go ask him." And that's when she started looking at me like I'd landed in a flying saucer and came out the bottom ramp.
And so Frank is there arguing with this man. Now, I didn't know any of this is going on.
You're still in the store.
Yeah, no, Margaret. Margaret's in the store. Why didn't you go get her?
Why didn't I go get him? Because he's in the store and he's haggling over the price of a coonskin cap.
I was getting the Davy Crockett hat for laughs, something I could wear on one of my, singing engagements.
All right, okay. Well, whatever. I could give off a fat, hot, holy, sweet JC. You're in the store haggling and negotiating over the price of a coonskin cap, and I'm out there trying to save my reputation and my life with this man who's hollering me. I'm in the car, so...
Frank, were you in this guy's car or not?
Hold the phone for a minute. I'm trying to tell him...
All right, Frank, but you're dragging the story.
I'm going to give you the story. So I'm there. I have a cigar, and...
You're smoking a cigar in another guy's car.
Am I going to be able to...
Phil, you've got to let him tell the story.
All right, sorry.
I mean, I've lit up a Roytan because I happen to like good, fragrant, cheap cigars. That's where Frank Gray lives. I live right in the crotch of cheap cigars. Why? It reminds me of the struggle that I had as I came up through the ranks.
That's fine, Mr. Gray, but the story.
All right, okay, sorry. So, there's this guy, and she says to me, when my wife comes out and he sees you sitting here, there's going to be a whole planet full of trouble that's going to spin out of orbit and can destroy a whole universes of dreams you and I have not never had. And I looked at her and I said, golly, aren't you... I just turned away and turned up. I was listening to KNX trying to get the news and listening to Gerd Duffy doing the sports, you know, the sports report on the football field.
Okay, so what's the story with the car?
All right, so anyway, I got out of the car. I said, you're telling me this is your car? And she says, yeah. And I said to her, well, where's your wife? She said, he's in the store. I said, can we double check it? And this guy has got the big nose, the W.C. Fields nose, with a checkered cap of some kind. And
what? Forget about what the guy's wearing, okay, Frank? Just tell me what the upshot of this was.
Look, Phil, Frank will tell you the story as he tells the story. There's a lot of detail here.
Thank you very much, Margaret. See, that's why I married him. He's a wonderful woman, and he backs me up.
All right, fine. So the guy's wearing whatever he's wearing.
The guy's got... looked like the guy had on a hot rod jacket and a pair of penny loafers or something. So she says to me, you're in my car. I said, what? I said, I have a black Land Rover. And she says, so do I, and you're sitting in it. And she said, and you also lit up a fat, stinking Roytan. And it's funny. She said, it's a funny thing, because had it been a white owl... or something like the had a Tampa. And I said, it's called Have a Tampa. It shows what you know. And she's all, oh, ow, ouch, ow, that hurts. So now we get into almost a shoving match. I said, yeah, you know, yeah.
And you didn't put hands on the guy.
No, but I felt in my mind we got into a shoving match. Until finally, this guy's wife comes out of the store. He's about 5'2", eyes of blue. I keep slipping into that.
Let's get off the 5'2", eyes of blue, okay?
Well, he was. He was a little tiny blonde, feisty as hell with a bouffant hairdo and a big, big rear end.
Enough of the personal descriptions.
All right, sorry. So the wife comes out, and he says, what are you? I said, what am I? I said, I'm a full-grown man. And I was just talking to your husband, and she's telling me that this is her car. Now, the two of them are looking at me like I've got three fingers, two wide bulbous eyes, and I live underground. And I said, what gives here?
All right, then let me pick it up, Frank. I come out of the store, and I said, what's the problem?
Okay.
And this man, his name was Bevan. Wallace Bevan. I shouldn't give the name.
I'm sorry, I'm an attorney. I know. It's all right to give her name. Wallace Bevan, not be it. I'm sorry, I had a hard time. I was chewing some Bubblicious, you know, Phil?
Uh-huh.
I know you used to like Bubblicious.
I don't chew it anymore. So Margaret comes out.
Margaret comes out.
I come out, and I said, hello, I'm Mrs. Ray, it's my husband, and these two people are stunned because of Frank's gender confusion. They don't understand what he's talking about.
Hey, this is the whole thing. I didn't talk gender confused with him. Let me just tell him.
All right, Frank, go ahead.
So I said to the wife, and he's about 5'2", not five, but anyway.
Yeah, 5'2". I got the 5'2".
Right. And big rear end. And he says to me, you look like you need a straitjacket. You're in our car. You belong in a nut house. And we're going to call the police. I said, hold on, before you call the police, that's when I butted my cigar on the side panel of this guy's car.
Oh, Frank, what, man, what got into you?
What do you mean, what got into me?
Well, Frank, were you weren't sure at that time it was your car.
I was absolutely sure at the time. It turned out it was not my car, but hold on for a minute.
Aha, so it wasn't your car.
Oh, get the big brain there on generals. No, it wasn't my car.
All right, well, we're trying to find out and determine what exactly happened tonight, because all I know is Phil says to me we're going to do an hour on mental health. And I said, who's the guest? He said, Frank Gray. And I said, every hour with Frank Gray is an hour about mental health.
Isn't that cute? Ha ha. Just because you're a Vietnam veteran doesn't mean I've got to sit and swallow what you give.
All right, boys, enough of the jail shower banter, all right?
Jail shower banter? I'll have you know.
Wait a minute. So you're talking to the guy.
I'm talking to the guy, and I said, let me see the back end of it. And the husband thinks I'm talking about her wife. And the wife instinctively turned around and bent over and then went, I didn't mean to do that. Now the husband's glaring at him like and saying, I was married, been married to you for 25 years. You're showing it to another guy. And I said at that time,
Did these people really talk like that?
Dickman, if people really talk like you, then yeah, they talk like that.
Frank, let's not be bashing Bud. You're the guy that's having this weird-ass conversation with these people, okay?
Oh, I'm having a weird-ass conversation with these people, okay. What did I do wrong?
Hey, Frank, so the story was what? You said you want to see the rear end of what?
I said I want to take a look at the back end of it, and her wife turned around and showed me his rear end. How do you feel about that?
Frank, that's not the only thing that happened.
Then I said no. I mean the back end of the car. And that's when she says to me, okay, but let my wife put the groceries away, and I need to help him because he's only 5'2" with the eyes of blue, whatever they said.
All right, so you've helped with the groceries.
I didn't help with any groceries.
All right, they helped with the groceries. Then what?
Then what happened was I look at the back end of the car, and I'll be the son of a jingling cowboy if I didn't see a regular California license plate, and I have the heritage plates, Phil, you know, the gold on black.
Right. And they weren't there.
They weren't there. So it turns out that she was right. The husband's yelling at me, and all the while she's right. And the wife screaming with that high-pitched whine, and he's going, oh. And I said, let me take a look at the back end of it. And that's when he goes, rather, you know. And
I don't believe a word of that, Frank.
Well, then you better, the couple's name is Wallace and Sabrina Bevenin, or Bevan, excuse me. And I'll tell you right now.
Okay, Frank, you know, you're a lawyer, and you know how to talk, and you know how to, you know, say stuff, and...
Yeah, I know how to say stuff good. God damn.
Well, you know, if you know what you're saying a lot of stuff here that might get you sued, but I guess you know what you're doing.
You better, hey, give the man a cigar. You know, in the only years I've known Phil Hendry, I never knew her to have such an acute, you know, sensibility and everything.
All right, so what happened? I'll pick up from here, Frank.
You'll pick up. How do you like him? You'll pick up from here, all right. I'll have you doing lot pickup at McDonald's.
I gotta ask you something, Frank. Are you drunk?
Am I what?
He's asking, are you drunk? No, he's not.
I'm not. I'm not drunk, no.
Because you're sitting going off in a flight of fancy here. I've heard you say some crazy stuff. I've never heard you talk about getting into a guy's the wrong car. And I gotta ask you, maybe I better ask Margaret.
Oh, wait. I know what she's gonna ask. She's gonna ask, am I having a senior moment?
Well, Frank, that's what it sounded like.
No, I wasn't having a senior moment. Henry, didn't you tell me that you put groceries into the back end of some woman? Not the back end.
Yes, I did. I opened up the back end of a car that looked exactly like mine. It happened to be a Jaguar, a black Jaguar.
A black one of those, what do you call it?
Checkered flag, a Jaguar SUV. I opened it up. I put my groceries in. I took the cart back to the cart thing. I walked toward the car, and I realized it wasn't my car.
And how did you know that?
Because I noticed the license plate numbers were wrong, and the car was a little, it just looked different.
The license plate? I bet you don't have a no heritage plate.
No, I just noticed the license plate numbers were wrong.
See, Frank, some people remember the license plate numbers.
So that means, how do you remember?
I just know what the first few numbers of my license. The point being, I was in the, yes, I'd opened up the wrong car.
Well, yeah, but you see, and that's the other thing. How did I get into this guy's car? She didn't lock it.
Well, that's the problem that, you know, they have. But believe me, when I did what I did, I was practicing my apologies as I was taking my groceries out of that car and putting them back in the cart. My car was like two cars down.
it was an easy mistake to make.
Yeah.
That same thing with me. When I looked at the tail end and I took a look at what it had, I mean, I shouldn't say it, talk about a license plate, and I looked at the back end, and then I noticed across the way, you know, across the, from separating where the cars drive, my car was across from the other car, and there was my car.
Frank had parked across from that car. I told you, Frank, you didn't park near the ivy, which is where that wall was.
Right. I know that now. I did not know that then. Like the man said, what I know now, I did not know.
Yeah, did not know then.
Okay, so tell me more.
What more do you want to know? Well, and that's when I said to her, I'm sorry, sir. You're right. This is your car. And she started a whole song and a dance.
You know, Frank's going to have to pay for the damage to the car with a cigar. You'll probably wind up buying that man a whole new car.
All right, so I buy her a whole new car. Good for her. I'll buy her and her wife a whole new car. And then he can walk. Maybe then he can walk off that big ass.
All right, Frank, you've talked enough about how big this guy's wife's rear end was and all the other stuff. So what I was interested in knowing about was the whole, you know, what Bud said to me, and Frank really wants to talk about mental illness.
Well, mental illness is. It's a foot. I'm sitting there making an honest mistake. I'm having a cigar. Here she comes screaming at me, with the big nose, big glasses, and some kind of it's a hat that comes the trappers wear. And wearing a suede vest and a leather jacket, and about 65 years old, and she says to me, "Where is your wife?" And I said, "He's in the store." And her wife looked at me like I'd flown in 25 million miles from Earth on a Venusian rocket ship with a little lizard that's going to be gigantic. See what I'm saying?
But the guy looked at you. The man looked at you like you were nuts, Frank, because you were calling him a her.
Here we go again. Here we go again.
All right, never mind. Let's forget that. Okay, Frank.
You called me Frank.
I mean, okay, Frank.
Yeah, well, listen. The country has lost its mind. People are nuts. People are more nuts than ever before. And I said to her and to her wife, I'm in my car. The only thing that makes it not my car is the fact that there's the heritage. There's no heritage plates on this rolling can of garbage. Otherwise, I'd use this thing as a paperweight. And that's when she started losing her mind, said, you realize you're talking that way in front of my wife? And look at him. He's showing you his rear end. I said, well, that's the only part of it where I don't sue you. So,
Frank, I got to tell you, when we get a chance to talk, I'm going to explain to you, or maybe Margaret can, how you're wrong. You'll never be able to do it, Phil. You can't.
I'm not wrong.
You can't explain to him how he's wrong. It won't happen. Frank, you're going to wind up writing a big fat check.
I don't care if I was sitting in my car having a cigar, using the handy wipes that I found, and I realized, uh-oh.
It wasn't your car. It wasn't your car, Frank. So you're sitting there in what you call your car, isn't your car. You butt the cigar in the guy's door.
And you want to, and the reason I said I would never, but you're being a real pain in the you-know-what. And I pointed to mine, just like her wife had shown me his.
All right, Frank, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, let me say, you got to do a special on the mental illness that's afoot in America. People are nuts, and they're getting goofier all along. And why it is you and Dickman and the rest of them don't focus in on this is beyond my...
Great, thank you, Frank.
Frank? My wife, he calls me Frank. F-A-N-K, is that how my name's spelled?
Frank, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
That's great, Frank. It'll never happen. We're not doing a special.
Are you the host of the Phil Haney Show? No, you're not.
Phil Hendry. Frank, I think you need to lay down or something. Is he tired?
Get out of the phone, Margaret. It's my phone. I'm sorry.
Frank, you know you're tired. And it's been a long week. What have you been doing, Frank?
I was in Palm Springs at the Gene Autry Hotel, throwing bones with Rack Waterly, Ty Eppen, all the guys that I used to... I mean, we used to hunt downtown at the Hall of Justice back in the days when Boogie Osi and all them. Christ, it was great.
I don't know. All right, Frank, thank you very much.
I want to talk to the host of the show.
Frank, thank you very much, buddy. It's been good talking to you.
All right. Frank Gray, y'all can kiss my... Frank, kiss my...
Well, I don't know.
Morgan, if we, you know, we love you and we love Frank. There's something wrong with the guy.
There's nothing wrong with him. He is an obstinate, argumentative, arrogant man at times, and he just feels like he's right, even when he knows he's wrong.
You're saying he knows that he was wrong?
I think he knew full well he was wrong, but he was not going to admit it, and decided that he would butt the cigar. One of the things about Frank, he wastes a lot of money. Frank wastes thousands, if not even millions of dollars, proving no point at all, just being an arrogant slob. Now, he'll buy that man a new car, I don't know, $150,000, and be happy he did it, just so he can say, here's your car, now take it, get in it, turn it, make a U-turn, and park it up there. I'm Frank Gray.
What?
God damn, Phil.
So, you know what? I know what I'm saying is, it is a frightening thing to hear him when he isn't making sense.
Frank makes sense if you can flip the gender and understand that he's never wrong about anything.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Folks, we received a recording over the weekend that was sent to us by Steve Bozell. You wanted to get out in front of this, Steve, correct?
Yes, sir. It's a difficult thing. I found a recording in my possessions, and I had talked to Bud Dickman when I heard Margaret singing Christmas songs. I said I'd like to do that, too.
Steve, you'd have this stand-up comedy that you do at your men's club.
Yes, I do.
And you also want to be a singer.
I think that I can be a singer. And what happened was, this recording was never meant to be released, Mr. Dickman.
You told me you did it for me to listen to it.
Yeah, to listen to it. I didn't tell you to show it to Mr. Henry.
Let me ask you something. This is a recording of you singing Christmas songs.
Because it's a good example of my singing.
We've got an example of your singing when you hosted your own show and you're singing country music.
Yeah, but this is Christmas music. It shows my range. The problem with this was I started recording this when I got home from work. It was a Christmas party 5 years ago, and I've been slipped a tab of acid by a member of my crew. And I told Cliff Pettigrew, I said, man, if this was you, Pettigrew, there's no country, there's no world you can escape to that I won't find you.
So you got slipped a tab of acid.
That is a criminal act.
I understand, but I don't really know who did it.
You got slipped a tab of acid by a member of your crew, whoever, and you recorded this song? You recorded this Christmas song?
And I got home and I recorded this Christmas song. And I was coming on to it.
And you still want us to hear this?
It's got good renderings. My voice sounds good. If you could just ignore them.
We're supposed to ignore the part where you're tripping out and hallucinating on the LSD.
Yeah, if you would. I mean, since you got the tape anyway.
Yeah, we got the tape. Just here, you got to play it on the air.
Well, at first I didn't want you to, but then I realized that there was probably, you know, it wasn't that bad.
All right, well, I haven't heard this.
I haven't heard it either.
You have not heard it.
No, and you want to play this on the air.
I want just play the one Frosty the Snowman.
All right.
Frosty the Snowman, whoo, with a corn cob pipe and the corn cob wedge and the corn cob wedge. Hey, Frosty the Snowman, oh, he was made of snow and he was made of blow and the blow and the snow and the blow. Blow and snow and blow, snow blow, blow, whoa, 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 whoa. Up the silk hat went his snout. He began to dance about. Hey, Frosty the Snowman was living, breathing flesh and molecular structure, atomic structure. Frosty did it all. Oh, thumpity thump, thumpity thump, thumpity thump, thump, thump. Say, listen, thumpity thump, thumpity thump, thump it all over town. I like to come home and thump it, thumpity thump, thump, thump. Frosty walked all around town, high-fiving little kids. How do you high-five a tiny kid? You put your hand in the air, then you lift the kid by the back of his jacket and help him smack your frosted hand. Well, he led them down the street to a Bank of America. They set fire to it that night. That's right, the famous burning of the Santa Barbara Bank. Oh, man. Happy, happy man. And he waved goodbye and he said, F you, all of you burn slow. I'm Steve Bozell and I'm applauding myself. Woo, man. Mm-mm.
No, I mean, if you can ignore the parts.
You just want us to ignore all the weird stuff. What's the quality of your voice?
That's all I want you to know. Or that's all I want to hear about.
Your voice is a great voice.
You've got a very good singing voice, Steve. I think it needs some work. But obviously, that is not a good example of your singing because of the fact that you were high on this drug.
Oh, man.
Why don't you do a regular song, man?
I'm going to do a regular song, but Dickman got a hold of the tape.
You sent it over.
I sent it over for you and Phil to review, not to play on the air.
Well, you gave us permission, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, I did.
Why don't you do another recording of you singing a regular song like you sang those country songs?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to say, can I do some Christmas music based upon the quality of that?
You could do some Christmas. I would vote for it. It's not my decision to make. You could do some Christmas music if you don't take LSD. How about that?
That's not a very difficult thing to ask a man, I don't think, Steve.
If I don't do what?
You can sing some Christmas songs for us if you don't first take LSD.
I mean, oh, man.
Well, I mean, what's the answer, man? That's a pretty easy question.
Yeah, but you got to think about it.
The fact that you have to ask me that, I think, is very offensive.
You just did it there, man.
I didn't mean for it to be on a podcast is all I'm trying to say.
Yes, you may.
When do you want to do this?
I'd like to do it. Are you going to go to Florida on Wednesday, Mr. Henry?
I'm going to Florida on Wednesday. You want to be part of the show? Wednesday, I mean, Wednesday through all of Christmas week, we take off. However, we are not going to be taking off Christmas week this year. Well, maybe we are. I don't know.
I thought you'd take Christmas week off.
We do take Christmas week off. I don't know, man.
Oh, well, thanks a lot.
Okay, how about Christmas Eve?
Okay, you're on.
Steve Bozell, the Christmas Eve show. That'll be the 24th show, the 24th of December show. We'll sing Christmas carols, right?
Yes, sir. And
try not to take any acid.
Acid, man. I got dosed by a member of my own crew. Why won't you believe me?
I believe you, Bozell, but you've got to be some moron, and you didn't find out who did it.
I tell you what, I've turned over that crew about 5 times since that happened, but all I know is my wife, April, has Polaroids of me. Apparently, I painted polka dots on myself or some stupid ass.
Your wife has Polaroids? Your wife has Polaroids?
You're kidding.
Oh, look at Mr. Henry. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, all right. We got to see those too.
No, not a chance.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. All right, man.
Yeah, well, you should have been me.
No, thank you. But we will certainly enjoy having you Christmas Eve singing Christmas carols.
Okay, well, don't do me any favors or anything, Mr. Henry.
Look, you're the guy that sent us over a tape of you singing that stupid song on acid. So be happy that we're actually entertaining the idea of having you on the show. You got a good singing voice, Steve. But that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Stephen, he's right. If you're going to sing, you have to sing in a way...
Ms. Gray, please don't lecture me. I mean, I think I have a good singing voice.
Bozell, you got a decent singing voice, okay? We knew that when you sang those country songs. Just don't start telling everybody how it is.
God, man.
All right, Steve, thanks. I'll talk to you then.
All right, what time you got...
Fuck me. World famous Phil Henry Show. Thanks to the Misery Slims, by the way, for the music tonight. Very good. One of our favorite bands in the world, Misery Slims.
Yeah, the Misery Slims. World famous Phil Henry Show, you were saying?
Yeah, executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
I'm Margaret Gray.
And Bud Dickman.
We already did this.
Oh.